Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Bill Ryder on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, what's up? Bill Ryder with you. Thank you for hanging out here on the Jim Rome Show. The program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage. By Quicken Loans, Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. The phone number 1-800-636-8686. Rome@Habitake.com, at Jim Rome, JimRome.com. I'm on Twitter as well, Sports Writer, Sports, R-E-I-T-E-R. Not only is Tom Haverstraw one of the best NBA writers in the country, he may have the best podcast name of any podcast. His last name is obviously Haverstraw, and he has the Haverstraw podcast. As a guy who had Writer Than You as the name of a radio show, I like puns, and I like Tom Haverstraw, and he joins us now on the Jim Rome Show. Hello, Mr. Haverstraw. How are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well, Mr. Ryder. I regret to inform people that that's not the only pun on my name. I've got the Haberstat, which is a video that I do every week for NBC Sports. And I also had a recipe for this Brazilian sausage, grilled sausage, that I posted on Count the Dings, which is our podcast network. I posted a video of me making sausage out on my Weber grill, and I named it the Haberstrawsage.
That's so stretch. I like it.
I regret to inform people that it's not just the Haverstraw. There's multiple bad puns on my last name.
And I just heard something else I'm impressed by. You're an old school charcoal guy. None of this gas that I gave into when I moved back to LA. You're battling the coals. You're doing it for real.
Yeah, I just feel like in my pampered life of sitting in at my desk with my computer and just sitting in a cubicle essentially all day, it's probably good to touch base with our caveman instincts every once in a while, unless I think we'll lose ourselves as human beings. So that's my attempt to grow a little bit more hair on my chest is I do the charcoal grill. Yeah.
All right, in the spirit of your grilling, let's bring the fire before we get to the analytics. Chris Paul, would you like to guess who you would nominate as the most likely person to utilize the NBA snitch line in Orlando?
You know, you mentioned Chris Paul, the guy that I went to college with at Wake Forest, and so I'm trying to stick up for my fellow Demon Deacon here. Every NBA player snitches during an NBA game. You look at a guy who steps on the sidelines and the referees don't see it, what do? The opposing team's, you know, points down at the sideline and yells at the referees. Or at the end of a game, if teams feel like the referees botched a bunch of calls, they'll appeal that game or appeal certain plays and send it into the league for review. This happens all the time. The idea that an NBA team with coronavirus raging around the bubble, the idea that championship legacies are on the line, LeBron, Giannis, Kawhi Leonard, who's coming off a championship himself, the idea that this snitch line would just be sitting there collecting dust is insanity to me. Obviously, people are going to be calling that hotline because if it's any way to say, not only did this player screw up the rules, he could have exposed his teammates to the coronavirus, and therefore, he's going to be out for the next 2+ weeks. And so it's not just, hey, he should miss the next game. This has big consequences when you're dealing with such a sensitive and high-tension scenario that we're seeing in the bubble. So I don't know who is snitching, and I'm surprised it's happening this early because there's no games that are happening right now. But rest assured, Bill, when the games start happening, this hotline is going to be busy.
Tom Haverstraw, what would you put the over-under number at of false snitch line accusations against LeBron James?
Against LeBron. that's funny. You know what? When you watch these videos on have you seen the Twitter feed NBA Bubble Life?
Yeah.
It's amazing content. When you see these videos, like the first day, if you notice, the first day in Orlando, it seemed like all the players going out on the boats were wearing masks. That took like 2 days before people were like, yeah, I'm not going to wear masks anymore out of the boat. And it's very rare that you see, players out outside on these boats, you know, fishing and having a great time, you know, it's becoming more and more normal for them to just not wear a mask. And, like, I don't know if that is the complaint or whether it's more like the Bruno Caboclo, Rashawn Holmes, two players that aren't household names, but two players in the NBA were subject to a 10-day quarantine forced because they broke the bubble, so to speak, during their initial quarantine. You know, whether they got a delivery or they, you know, went outside when they weren't supposed to. The NBA is taking this very seriously. And like I said earlier, if you violate the protocols, it's not like you get a fine. You're out of the game for up to 10 days. So, like, when LeBron James, if I'm LeBron James or people around LeBron James, I am making sure that he is following everything to a T, because you know everyone is going to be watching him and making sure he doesn't get any, you know, exemptions or any sort of perks of being in the bubble and being LeBron James. I mean, I would imagine people are going to be watching Giannis and LeBron and Kawhi extra close going forward.
Tom Haverstraw, I'm going to put it at 7.5, and 5.5 of them come from your former Demon Deacon, Chris Paul. False, LeBron
but
James.
But that's his guy.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I'm not sure they're guys up between the lines. I mean, I know they're buddies.
Yeah. Well, if they're playing, if OKC is playing the Lakers, I'd imagine the likelihood is much higher. And look, these guys are buddies outside the lines, but inside the lines, you know, Chris Paul hasn't even been to the NBA Finals in his NBA career. So, like, there's a lot on the line for him too. And when you get to this, when you get to the conference finals and teams are going to be extra careful about their activities, I'd imagine this is going to be super, super intense. And I don't know if the NBA is going to act on any of these snitch hotline calls, but at this point it's low stakes. Talk to me in like a few weeks when the games actually start happening.
Yeah. Tom Haverstraw here on the Jim Rome Show, Bill Ryder filling in. Tom, you are, and I said this at the start of the show, not just one of the best NBA writers in the country, but you look at things, you do deep data dives, and look at things from a very analytical perspective. I'm really curious your take here. We're going to have neutral courts, right? So you're Philly, and you're 29-2 at home. If you're a team like Dallas that was really good on the road, to what extent do you think you can look at road or home records and know something about how that's going to translate to what goes on in Orlando?
It's a great question. I think the 76ers are one of the biggest benefactors of this bubble, and I'll tell you why. Right now in the standings, they would not have home court advantage again in their first round opponent against, say, Boston Celtics. Boston Celtics have a great home court advantage. More importantly, the Sixers have a horrible road disadvantage. In fact, the swing between the home court win percentage for the 76ers and the road win percentage is the largest swing since the NBA merger. For any team in the NBA, the largest home-away split is this year's 76ers. So going into the playoffs as an underdog in a series, they would have not only to go and play in Boston for the first two games, but they'd also have, you know, game seven on the road. So they would be at a huge disadvantage. But in this scenario, they're going to be at a big advantage. I think it's going to even out for all teams, but more so for the 76ers because they were going to have no home court advantage there. Now it gets split. And the other thing I'll point out is this shutdown benefits them on another level because Ben Simmons was dealing with a really bad back injury. And now because of the big break, they're healthy again, and that is another big benefit for the 76ers, that if they started the season right off where they left off back in March without a big delay, things would be very different for Philly. And in fact, for all those listeners at home who are looking to put some money on a team, I'm really big on the 76ers simply because I think both of those factors, the road disadvantage is gone, and also that they appear to be fully healthy. I think they're a big, big under-the-radar team right now.
Well, I find that absolutely fascinating. Tom Haverstraw here on the Jim Rome Show, Bill Ryder filling in. Similar question, And again, Tom, as best you can guess at what neutral courts do to the basketball we're going to see, how do you think a neutral court, no fans, what we're going to experience, impacts a guy like James Harden and a team like the Rockets, where they're going to rely very, very heavily on his ability to hit a bunch of shots?
Yeah, not only that, get referee calls. And if we know anything about referee calls is that, you know, historically, maybe this has been weeded out over the years, but referees are subject to homer bias too, right? So if James Harden's playing not at Houston where the crowd is going nuts and the referees subliminally might be favoring the home crowd on a 50-50 call to send James Harden to the free throw line for three free throws in a close game, maybe he's not getting that call anymore. And a team like the Milwaukee Bucks just worked all season long to make sure they had home court advantage throughout the playoffs and in the NBA Finals. And now that's gone. And another thing, I talked to a Vegas bookmaker about this for a story I'm writing this week. One thing that you have to keep in mind in neutral site games is the point totals are going to be way suppressed. They had to adjust the point total over-unders for these games, for these NBA games, by as much as 5 to 8 points per game. Because what they saw in the NCAA tournament in March Madness, when these really good teams that play at home really, really well, as soon as they go to a neutral court that they're not used to, the rims are different. The backdrops behind the hoop is different. The floor feels different. And that actually impacts their shooting percentages, and they don't score as many points in those neutral court scenarios in the tournament than they do at home. So if you're looking, and I think the Vegas bookmakers have already adjusted for this, but just you at home, just be prepared for some of these games to be low-scoring affairs, not just because of the rust, but also because this is a foreign environment for a lot of these players, haven't played in a neutral court scenario. I don't think the free throws, so to speak, will be an impact, but I do think referee calls, and I do think that just the unfamiliarity of the court itself and the arena itself, I think will bear out in lower point totals.
Tom Harris will bring in the info here on the Jim Rome Show. Lakers are still the betting favorites, and they're going to be without the services of Avery Bradley, who I know isn't the sexy name on that team. I mean, they've got LeBron, they've got Anthony Davis, but you look at their best five-man lineup and the things Bradley brought to the table, and he was an important piece of what they did. To what extent do you think Bradley being gone and the potential for guys like him, third, fourth, fifth most important guys on teams, potentially being gone if people test positive, can impact the outcome of this thing?
Yeah, I think just more than any other sport, it just matters if your stars are healthy. I mean, it's so critical. Look at the Golden State Warriors this season. You know, they lost a couple of their players and their whole entire season just went up in flames. And I think, you know, Avery Bradley's a nice role player, and so is Rajon Rondo in a good situation. I think he's over the hill and hurts in many ways, and his injury actually I think will open up minutes for Alex Caruso, and it'll be good for the Lakers. But I think in this bubble scenario, I think it's really going to come down to the stars, because ultimately that's what's going to win a championship. It's not going to be a fourth guy on the totem pole. It's going to be all about LeBron and Luka and James Harden. And that's what's so funny about the situation we see in Houston right now, is that Russell Westbrook and James Harden are not practicing with the team. And so going forward, that's a huge variable that every team in the league is watching, is what's happening with the Rockets. Because I think they were actually a pretty sexy pick in terms of, you know, championship contenders because of this weird scenario that we're seeing in the bubble. But now that whole thing is questionable, because we don't know what the deal is with Russell Westbrook and James Harden. Even though Harden came to the bubble last night, we still don't know if he's in good condition or when he's going to be back practicing with the team.
All right, Tom, last one for you. And I don't want to pick on LeBron, but I'll pick on LeBron since you and I both covered him together his first year in Miami. God, was that almost a decade ago, which is crazy that it's been that much time. Some of those hot take artists, certainly not me, were very hard on LeBron back in those Miami years. And we saw some of the stress, right, as he sort of learned to deal with it. A different guy back then, at least for me. He and every other player, if they are able to make it to the NBA Finals in this restart, are going to be under a very bizarre situation. They're going to be away from their family for the most part, away from their kids for the most part, away from their girlfriends for the most part, stuck in a hotel with the same guys over and over again. To what extent, if any, do you think just the psychological impact, the stress, the anxiety, the annoyance could come to bear on who wins this thing?
Yeah, it's going to be super stressful in a variety of different ways. You touched on a lot of them. And I implore people right now to read Marcus Thompson's piece today at The Athletic. Wrote an amazing piece about marijuana, cannabis in the bubble. And that for a lot of these players, weed is not just a recreational drug. It's a medicinal drug. It's after games when you're having anxiety about the way you played or about what people are saying about you, you kick back. And you pop a gummy or you have an edible and you just relax and watch TV. And in this NBA scenario, there's going to be a lot of stress, a lot of anxiety about the fact that you're not with your normal comfort zone and you're in this bubble and you're in quarantine, so to speak, and you're not going to be able to go and kick back with your buddies as much as you want. So I think it's going to be this totally new experience that for now, it looks like everyone seems to be having a good time. But when, you know, the games come around and the L's start piling up, I think it's going to be a huge, huge topic. It's not just, stress, but also how do you deal with that stress? And in the state of Florida, marijuana possession is illegal. But in the NBA is not testing for marijuana anymore in this bubble. So it's going to be a really fascinating thing. And I again, read Marcus Thompson's piece in The Athletic today. It does a really good job of capturing, you know, what life is like going to be like for a lot of these NBA players.
Tom Haber Schroe of the Tom Haber Show and the Tom Haber Sausage. Is that what was that? Is that where we got to? Tom Haber Sausage? Is that what it was?
Yeah, something like that. Something like that. Yeah, it's terrible. I know.
No, it's great. And you're great. And hey, buddy, really, really appreciate you making time and the insight. Super interesting and bizarro NBA postseason about to happen, and appreciate your insights in advance of that.
You got it, Bill. Anytime.
Thanks, buddy. Tom Haberstroh on the show. Yeah, you know, and again, not to pick on a guy, but talking about whether or not guys are going to be able to self-medicate in that respect, it's one of the first things I thought about Michael Beasley when he went in the bubble, and he's obviously out for a positive coronavirus test. But there are some guys, and I probably shouldn't pick on Beasley, but there are some guys who you would imagine, regardless of whether that's their choice of self-medicating, have had some issues with stress over the years, have had some trouble living up to their potential in normal times. The stress of this is going to bring out what it's going to bring out in folks. It's going to be fascinating. 1-800-636-8686. Bill Ryder filling in for Jim Rome. We'll get into some of your tweets here in a second. And a college football coach who's great at his job but doesn't have a clue on the things that actually matter when we come back in a moment here on the Jim Rome Show.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back into the Jim Rome Show. Bill Ryder filling in here for Jim. You can hit me up on Twitter, Sports Ryder, Sports R-E-I-T-E-R, 1-800-636-8686, RomeAtHaveATake.com, at Jim Rome, JimRome.com. The game you love is back tonight at 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific. CBS Sports Network serves you up an ace as some of the hottest names in tennis hold court together. It's World Team Tennis on the 24-hour home of CBS Sports. I'll be watching that. Feels like the right time to slip in my tennis story, but I'm not going. I'm going to hold it in reserve. Can't give all the gems away at once. That and few of you care. On Twitter, at SportsRider, Sports, R-E-I-T-E-R, Chemo Pigeon tweets, Bill, great to hear you on the Jungle Airwaves this week, brother. I miss you in your old national spot on CBS. Hopefully the NBA gets back at it soon for you. Thank you, buddy. Yeah, I love the irony of stepping away from my radio show so that I could cover the NBA for CBSSports.com. And I love that radio show. It was a really difficult decision. I love CBS Sports Radio, the people I work with, the show that I did. And then the NBA shut down. I haven't had this much free time, and I understand this is a first world problem. I haven't had this much free time in 10 years. And all I've done is watch terrible Netflix shows with it. I haven't really utilized that free time. So thank you. I'm with you. Hopefully NBA's back and keeps it going. And Husker Rocker tweets, "Yo, Bill, doing a great job." Is there a twist coming? Everyone's being so nice. "Yo, Bill, doing a great job. Have you talked to Winnie Cooper lately? Sincerely, the cast of The Wonder Years." I guess if you're watching on CBS Sports Network, you can make your own judgment. But going back to maybe fifth grade at Gregory Middle School in Naperville, Illinois, through my high school years in Dubuque, Iowa, through college at the University of Missouri, I have gotten the Wonder Years thing. I guess I look like Fred Savage. That's the guy's name. And the guy won't go away. He pops up. I'll say this. Went out with some radio folks about a year ago in Manhattan Beach here in the L.A. area. And one of the guys that I was with, longtime radio producer, who's maybe the biggest lightweight drinking-wise you've ever met. You get half a Coors Light in this guy, and his shirt's coming off. Was a couple Coors Light into his day and convinced the poor waitress that I was Fred Savage. On the one hand, she believed it. On the other hand, we caught her Googling who Fred Savage was, so I don't know how big of a deal that was. Thank you for the kind words. I hate it when I have to lay into somebody by prefacing how much I love sports, but I think that should tell you how dumb the take we're going to play here in a second is from a guy that I like. But let me do it. I love sports. The guys are just asking me my top eight sports I would sort of rank to watch in order, and it's hard to put that list together because I am obsessed. That's why I do this for a living. It's why you're listening to the Jim Rome Show. You're a sports fan. Liking sports. Loving sports. Believing that they have some value and they should take up some of your time and your kids' time and they have some meaning to you is not an excuse for self-absorption and a level of intellectual dishonesty that borders on the dangerous. We are in a pandemic. We are. I like having soccer on. I'm excited to have Major League Baseball and the NBA back. But LSU head coach Ed Orgeron, at a political event with the vice president, saying this is the height of what is at times wrong with this country.
"I don't think we can take this away from these players. Take this away from our state and our country. We need football. Football is the lifeblood of our country, in my opinion. It gets everything going, the economy in Baton Rouge, the economy in the state of Louisiana. And, you know, these young men need this chance now."
No, they don't. Football is the lifeblood of this country. Do you know what's the lifeblood of this country? The actual lifeblood flowing through the people of this country and the ability to continue to breathe. Look, very selfishly, in order to maintain the life that I have, and I feel blessed to have it, to give my children the life that we're lucky enough to have, my wife the life that we're lucky enough to have. I'm a kid from Iowa, lives in L.A. I drove to the Jim Rome Show today, literally almost pinching myself again, like, how did I get here? In order to maintain what is a very lucky circumstance for me, I need the NFL to happen. I need college football to happen. But you know what we actually need? Here's what we actually need. Look, my kids and I love Pinkberry. The other day, I have a sweet tooth. I'm like, let's just go to Pinkberry, 7:30 at night. Kids cheered, jumped off the couch, we went. I love Pinkberry. I'm obsessed with it. Do I need Pinkberry? No, there's kind of a difference here. I don't need it to survive. Here are the things, Ed, can I call you Ed, that we need. We need people to wear masks. That's what we need. And look, I say this as a guy whose wife lost two family members to this disease, one of whom was in her 30s. So if you've got this garbage, it's a hoax, I don't believe in the virus and science isn't real perspective, I love that you're listening, and I'm just a steward until Jim comes back, but I don't got the take for you because we're going to deal in facts here on the show. We don't need football. We need people to wear masks. We need people to believe in science. We need better and more tests. We need more civility in this country. You should be able, and I'm talking about the gentleman in Michigan, the elderly gentleman, you should be able to walk up to somebody in a store and request that they put a mask on without that person allegedly stabbing you and then being shot later by police. You know what we actually need to make this country work? I love sports. Do I need sports? Yeah, I do. I need sports to make a living. I need sports, but the country doesn't. Let me give you some things that are actually the lifeblood of this country. We need restaurants to be open. We need schools to be a safe place that people can go and learn. We need airlines to be able to have people who feel comfortable getting in to those machines and flying around the country and fueling the economy. We need factories to be able to produce the goods in this country that we require without people getting sick. There are a lot of things that actually are necessary, not necessarily a good idea, but necessary for this country to function. Football is really far down the list. The idea that Ed Orgeron is pushing that we need football for the sake of this country is a lie and it's selfish. He needs football. I need football. You may want football, but necessary? Look, if we're talking about the rise of some other sport or the concussion conversation or something else, this kind of language would be obtuse, but what it is. People actually are dying of this thing. Record number of deaths in Florida yesterday from COVID-19. Record number of tests, positive tests in places like Texas and Arizona, California, Florida. Look, I don't want to get political, and I hate that I have to say that when talking about science and this virus and wearing a mask. But this is a real problem. It's a real threat. And I had it, and I was mostly okay. I'm fine. I have antibodies for now. It takes some of the stress off. It certainly does. But Ed Orgeron telling you that we need football for these young men is a lie. And the fact that it comes from the lips of someone who makes millions of dollars, whether athletes don't get paid, is the height of hypocrisy. We need a lot of things in this country. And I would start with just some civility and the ability to talk to each other and hear each other. But we need football as much as I need Pinkberry to keep surviving. And the ability to differentiate between what is necessary and what is desired would be a really important step. And the next time some multimillionaire who sells the farce that he's about helping young men become grown men says something like this, we should all call the guy out. I like Ed Orgeron. Good guy. Incredibly irresponsible thing to say. You don't want politics in your sports? Then stop having your sports figures host politicians at events and say things like this. Left or right, that would be a good start. Shame on Ed Orgeron, and shame on anybody who thinks sports are more important than people like you and me and everyone we love trying to be healthy. Give me a break. Bill Ryder here on the Jim Rome Show, 1-800-636-8686 is the phone number. Let's turn to some baseball. Let's talk some sports. You know, baseball, that thing that I really want to have happen but don't require to survive. CJ Nikowski going to talk the return of MLB, the beginning of its truncated season. When we come back to the Jim Rome Show here in a moment after we get a CBS Sports Radio update from Rich Ackerman.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Bill Ryder on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, welcome back into the Jim Rome Show. I am Bill Ryder. Thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. You can hit me up on Twitter, Sports Ryder, sports, my last name, R-E-I-T-E-R. Call us, 1-800-636-8686. RomeAtHaveATake.com, at Jim Rome, JimRome.com. The guys just pointed this out, and I guess I knew it, but it hadn't hit me. Baseball is a week from tomorrow. We are on the cusp of having, and I'm not trying to pick on MLS, but come on, one of the major American sports back. Oh, sound just sounds good, doesn't it? I can stop watching table tennis on YouTube and watch Major League Baseball. Yankees Nationals, 4 o'clock Eastern, Pacific, 7 Eastern, opener. You know, I'm gonna go grumpy old man. I still hate interleague play. I hate Yankees Nationals. Can we just go? I know it's never gonna happen. Let's go back to the good old days. I have to pretend to care about American League teams. I'm a National League guy. I like feeling self-righteous and much purer as a baseball fan than my American League counterparts. Baseball is gonna be its own canary in the coal mine it's going to be, I think, a much better test of what's in store for the National Football League than the NBA. If the NBA can't work, sports in this country function on any level that resembles, even resembles what we've seen, is over. The NBA is in a bubble. Doesn't mean it's going to work. Doesn't mean it won't be popped or have some leaks. But that's a separate thing. The National Football League, if it's able to maintain itself, return to maintain itself this upcoming year, the silly Ed Orgeron perspective that college football is necessary. College basketball, when we get time to it.
Is the lifeblood of our country.
Oh my gosh, stop it. All of those things are going to happen in a situation where guys are going to be traveling around the country. The same for baseball. It's going to be, and I got fingers crossed, it's going to be really interesting to see if it can maintain itself. Let's talk about that, and let's actually talk some baseball with C.J. Nikowski, former big leaguer. You hear him now on Rangers broadcasts, MLB Radio Network. Mr. Nikowski, who, rumor has it, C.J., you have a giant COVID beard. What's going on, buddy?
What's up, Bill? No, it's not giant for sure. And trimming it up a little bit. No, I'm not. I can't pull it off like some of these other guys, man. I never have really been much of a beard grower. I did try this past off season and got it decent, but I just had wondered about the idea of whether or not how fans feel about their announcers coming out of quarantine with facial hair. Right? It seems to kind of be the thing to do. Why not? You got nothing else to do. This is your opportunity maybe to try to grow a beard if you haven't done it before, or if you just don't want to shave during quarantine. And so we just had some fun with it about, you know, asking fans how they felt about their broadcasters showing up after being gone for a few months with facial hair suddenly.
I say, C.J. Nikowski, embrace the change. I've got a – can't really see it on CBS Sports Network right now because it's kind of tamped down with gel, but I've got a giant fro that I can pick out that I was going to cut before – but I think – I'm pretty sure my barber just closed down again here in California, so I think I'm just going to have to embrace – I'm trying to lose weight, CJ, and I've got like 3 pounds of hair on my head right now.
Well, it's two ways to look at it, right? So you could cut off 3 pounds of hair off your head, or if you continue to let your hair grow out, it should make you look thinner.
You know what? I look thinner, and it turns out I think that's the exact reason. It's just the hair. What is your confidence level? I know it's guesswork, but how are you feeling, you know, optimistically or otherwise, about Major League Baseball's ability to have enough guys stay away from this virus that we'll end up finishing this season and having a successful, if shortened, MLB season in 2020?
Yeah, I mean, I think we'll get there. I'm really optimistic that we'll be able to finish the season. Of course, we already know some of the names that won't be there, and perhaps a few more decide to opt out as well, which would be unfortunate, but at the same time, you have to respect the decision that these guys are making, what is best for them, what is best for their family. So everything's going to feel a little bit different, but I really hope that we push forward. I know that baseball's worked hard to put all the protocols in place to try to make this as safe as possible. You're not going to completely prevent guys from catching the virus, but keeping it at an absolute minimum, the best you can do. And so far, the numbers have been really good when you compare them to the rest of the country as far as their positives go. I think if we can stay on that trend, then I think that we'll be able to get this season in despite how different it's going to look and feel.
C.J. Nikowski here on the show. C.J., you're a former Met, and you don't have this on your Twitter handle anymore, at C.J. Nikowski, but I loved it. What was it? Remind me, it was the lowest ERA for a Met starter in history with, was it 5 innings or less? Was that what it was?
Minimum five innings pitched. So you had to have at least 5 innings pitched to qualify, in my opinion, for the all-time ERA title with the New York Mets. Yeah, that was my claim to fame, that I'm sitting at the top of the list.
Hashtag legend.
My 5 innings.
Hashtag Mets legend. That's an interesting Mets team this year for a fairly long-suffering and very frustrated fan base. What's your optimism level for the Mets riding some of that pitching and having some success this season?
Well, there was a lot of good news coming into camp, but now things have all of a sudden slowed down here a little bit. Jacob deGrom is going to get an MRI on his back. That is concerning. We know how important he is to that rotation, and we start thinking about that division in the National League East. They really can't afford, I don't think, to lose anybody else in that rotation. It was interesting to see how this thing had come together. At one point, it looked like Rick Porcello and Michael Wacha were going to be battling for the fifth spot in the rotation, but now Jacob deGrom is hurting. Noah Syndergaard had Tommy John surgery back in March, and hopefully deGrom's not serious, but they potentially could be missing two huge pieces to their rotation. And yes, Marcus Stroman is there, a guy who's going to be free agent this year, but you know, you wanted him to slide around three on a championship caliber rotation. He will continue to have to move up, and if they lose DeGrom, he could end up being their opening day starter. And now they do have guys that certainly can back them up. They run a little bit deep. Robert Gsellman and Seth Lugo are guys that have started in the past, but they don't want to dig that deep in the rotation to start the year. So that's some discouraging news. I think some encouraging news is what they did with their bullpen. I know it didn't work out really well with Edwin Diaz last year, but it's a really good arm. And there's just no way that that was going to happen to him. I don't think I can imagine a second year in a row. You have some bounce-back candidates like Dellin Betances, Jeurys Familia, Hunter Strickland's another big arm. They have some guys there that are hungry to put up some really big seasons, some guys also that'll be free agents as well. So I think the bullpen will be much better than last year, and they can hit a little bit. I mean, Pete Alonso, we know who he is, but you start, there's some names in there like Jeff McNeil and others that people maybe don't talk about nearly as much. Brandon Nimmo is another one. But they also have Robinson Cano missing right now as well. So the idea of getting that full team out there, yes, that team I'd be optimistic about, but I'm starting to get just a little bit pessimistic based on some of the latest news.
And Mets fans, you still are rooting for the Mets. This is the Jim Rome Show. I'm Bill Ryder, CJ Nikowski, hanging out here on the show. CJ, in the past, in normal times, if you were a long-suffering fan base, and as a Cubs fan, that's been true for a long time, even if things have turned around a little bit the last few years, you can kind of convince yourself things were okay until even June, right? Even if the wheels came off. In this shortened season, how bad of a stretch can you start with before it's too late?
Not very long. Not very long at all. I mean, everything gets magnified, right? Essentially a third of the season. So if you felt like you could recover from a first bad month, maybe a week and a half, you know, into the season, right? The idea of falling behind, especially in most of these divisions, there's not too many of them that really run that shallow. I think both of the West divisions are really deep. Both of the East divisions are really deep. Maybe in the American League Central, you could afford to get off to a little bit of a slower start and recover from it. A team like the Minnesota Twins, we know have been really good. The Cleveland Indians, they're probably the ones that battle it out. But it also opens up the door, right? Using, say, the American League Central as an example, I think the Chicago White Sox could be a surprise team, right? They've slowly put their pieces together. They got a bunch of great young players. And we looked at them even going into a full season. You know, could they be the surprise team? Everyone's kind of sleeper favorite to sneak in there. Well, over a course of 60 games, I think they have a legitimate chance to do it. So that's the upside to somebody getting off to a slow start. But I would say for most of these divisions, you struggle early on. And the idea of trying to climb back in it, especially since we didn't get the expanded the postseason like we kind of hoped, right? There was a conversation out there that maybe we would get a 16-team postseason, but the players shot that down. That would have given you a chance to make up for, you know, a slow start, but because we're with our traditional 10 teams, not very likely that you're going to be in the postseason if you have a bad couple of weeks to start the year.
CJ, out here in L.A. on the West Coast, folks are aware, I don't know if they are the rest of the country, just the ridiculous streak of the Dodgers winning that National League West, even if they haven't brought home what they won ultimately in October. Do you look at that division? Do you see the year now where another team rises up and is the dominant force in the NL West?
I don't think so. I mean, especially becoming a dominant force. Now, just the idea of even knocking the Dodgers off for a year, could the Diamondbacks sneak in there and do that? We know the Padres are starting to kind of make their moves. They'd like to be able to do it, but I mean, that was a team that was 22 games under 500 last year. It's a pretty big jump to ask them to make. But I think the Diamondbacks are probably the one team that could challenge the Dodgers this year. I still think it'll be a challenge to be able to do that and get there. The Rockies maybe, but probably not. I still think this is the Dodgers division to lose. And, you know, everyone says the same thing right now. Because it's such a shortened season, you mentioned getting off to a slow start, well, health will have a lot to do with that as well. And so this will be, hey, who can be the healthiest for the shortest amount of time, essentially, will have the best chance. But it would take a couple of significant injuries. I know not having David Price in that rotation will hurt a little bit as he decided to opt out. But when you have Clayton Kershaw, Walker Buehler at the top, it's still a really good rotation. And the other pieces that'll be in there, I think with Urias and Wood and probably Stripling, they'll be fine. But it'll be interesting, too, to kind of fast forward if they do win the division again and then to not have David Price in the postseason is where it could show up a little bit. And that's where it may hurt. But I think the Dodgers are probably still in pretty good shape to win that thing again.
CJ, last one for you. Got about 60 seconds, but I wanted to real quick get your take on the NL Central, where a lot of folks think that's four teams deep. Who do you like? Who do you like in the middle part of the country there?
Yeah, the National League Central is going to be a real challenge. I mean, the Cubs, right, did make the postseason last year, lost in a wild card game the year before. So they're a team that's got a lot of resources poured into that club, and they don't have a lot of flexibility. This one, to me, you know, I want to say it's wide open, but I think that you can look at all these teams and you know, say like the Reds as an example, and all of a sudden their rotation clicks and gets it done. They could find themselves in that postseason just as easily, I think, as anybody else outside of the Pittsburgh Pirates. Everybody is in this thing. The Cardinals are going through a bunch of injuries right now and trying to figure out what they're going to do. Their bullpen has all of a sudden become a little bit depleted. We know the Brewers are going to be contenders, but to try to pick a team, any of those four for me, I would not be shocked if any of them won the division. Maybe the dark horse of that group might be the Reds, but this is not going to be an easy one to pick. I think for the Brewers and the momentum that they've had the last couple of years, if you were to force me to pick one, maybe I'd go there. But none of these teams will surprise me outside of the Pirates if they win it.
CJ Nikowski, thank you, buddy, for making time. Don't give up on that beard. This is the year. And what has been a rough year, it is the year of the beard. So, you know, hang in there. Keep it growing.
My boss makes that decision as soon as I get back to calling Rangers games next week.
I know how that goes.
He'll let me know.
Thank you, pal. Thanks for being on.
See you, bud.
See you, dude. That is true. That is one of the things about television. Unless you're a star and you're Jim Rome, you basically get treated like a child. You will wear these clothes. You will have this look. You will have this hair. This is the way that it works. Thank you to CJ for making some time. Man, baseball. Baseball cannot succeed because of itself. But sometimes you can just get lucky. Think about, and we'll just see how it happens, but wouldn't it be amazing if most of these teams that have a chance don't stumble? And it just feels like parity. And we have, because it's a shortened season, a few surprises in the mix and a bunch of really close races. There's just not as much time to fall behind in a 60-game season. To take the NL Central as just one example, if all four of those teams can somewhat tread water relative to each other, and you have a three or four team down the race, what feels like a three or four team race, be great if baseball could inject what feels like a little bit of opportunity and belief for a whole bunch of clubs. I want to circle back to this. We've hit it, but I want to focus on it. The psychological impact, the difficulty of winning while you're trapped in a bubble with a bunch of other dudes. We've seen some news surrounding that, and we're going to get into it in a more thorough way. I'm Bill Ryder filling in. We come back in a moment here next on The Jim Rome Show.